Welcome to the deep dive. You're here because you want to get a solid grip on important ideas without getting lost in the weeds, right? We totally get it.
We do.
Today, we're plunging right into the heart of lean safety, transforming your safety culture with lean management.
And it's a fascinating one because it connects these two worlds, lean management, all about efficiency, and the, well, the absolutely critical need for safety in the workplace.
Yeah, it's not just surface stuff, is it?
Not at all. It's really about rethinking how safety and continuous improvement can, you know, work hand in hand.
Exactly. So our mission here in this deep dive is to pull out those key insights, those aha moments from the book. We want to show how applying lean thinking can create a workforce that's genuinely engaged and proactively making things safer.
Okay, let's jump in.
So first things first, why even look at safety through this like lean lens? What's the starting point?
Yeah, good question. The book really challenges that old view of safety as just, well, ticking boxes for OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, you know, just doing the bare minimum for compliance.
Right, the compliance mindset.
Exactly. And it contrasts those kinds of reactive programs with what's possible when you have proactive programs that are actually rooted in lean thinking.
And there's that quote in the book that really hits home. A genuine focus on safety is about respect for people, while safety first is a saying printed on safety banners. Don't confuse the two.
Powerful, isn't it? It cuts right through. True safety isn't just a slogan you stick on a wall.
No.
The core of lean, I mean, the real philosophy is this deep respect for people. So safety in a lean context isn't just about avoiding fines. It's about genuinely valuing every single person's well-being. That human focus is key.
And to make that point even stronger, the book brings up these statistics.
Yeah.
Okay, they're from 1992, but still really stark.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty staggering.
We're talking over 6,300 job-related deaths, 13 million non-fatal injuries.
And the cost, $155 billion, which was almost 3% of GDP back then.
It just shows the huge human cost, but also the massive financial hit.
Absolutely. And, you know, beyond the obvious costs, the book raises this interesting idea about trust.
Ah, right. The safety bridge.
Exactly. If trust is low in an organization, which, let's face it, can kill any lean effort focusing on safety first, collaboratively, can actually help build that trust. It becomes a bridge to broader changes.
Okay, so it's about respect. It's more than compliance. And it can even build trust. Makes sense. But how do you actually create that kind of environment? The book talks a lot about culture.
It does, because lean isn't just a program you install, right? It's a whole mindset shift.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is the same. Mm-hmm. A truly safe workplace needs a deep cultural change, not just, you know, another binder of rules.
And the book is pretty direct about the kind of culture needed. It says the right culture for world-class lean and safety is one with a high level of trust.
Yeah, and it gives that simple but really insightful advice. You earn trust by giving it.
It sounds easy, but...
Okay. But it's powerful. Trust isn't just handed out. You earn it by consistently showing you value your people. The book defines culture pretty simply, too, just how people think, act, and interact.
Right.
So when that interaction is based on trust and respect, and safety is part of that, that's when you see real change stick.
And that ties straight into engagement, doesn't it? Employee engagement.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Getting employees invested, feeling like they have some ownership, is vital for both lean and safety goals.
There's that great little story in the book about the employee who finally felt engaged.
Yeah. Not because of a bonus or anything.
No, just because they got the chance to actually help improve a process.
Yeah.
Having a voice, making a difference.
That's it. When people feel heard and they see their ideas making things safer or smoother, their engagement just, well, it skyrockets. That ownership is a huge driver.
Okay, so culture, trust, engagement, super important. But who makes it happen? Who nurtures this? Leadership, presumably.
Yes, the book is very clear. Leadership has to drive it. They need to shift their own thinking from seeing people as a cost line item
to seeing them as assets, as problem solvers.
Exactly. Engaging them in process improvement. And it talks about process-focused leadership.
Right. That figure 3.1 in the book contrasts it nicely. Instead of employee is the problem.
It's process is the problem. How can we fix the system? It's about leaders helping get things done, understanding the whole picture, not just staying in their silo.
That's a big mental shift, moving away from blame.
Huge. And toward understanding and fixing the system's weaknesses together. Plus, the book makes another crucial point about leadership.
Which is?
People don't care how much leaders know about safety until they know how much they care. That genuine empathy matters a lot.
That rings true. And then there's process ownership. The forklift example was quite vivid.
Oh, yeah, the uncoordinated process wreck.
Yes, because no one really owned the forklift process.
Right, and the point is, for stability and improvement, someone needs clear accountability for the overall process. Safety might be everyone's responsibility day to day, but...
The buck stops at the top. Final accountability is with leadership.
Precisely. They have to ensure the systems, the resources, the support are all there for safety to actually work.
Okay, so leadership sets the stage. Now let's get practical. The tools. How can specific lean tools boost safety?
Right. And first, the book points out something interesting. Lean is mostly social, like 75% people and interaction.
And only 25% technical tools.
Yeah, which underlines why those interpersonal skills, that culture stuff we talked about, is so vital.
Yeah.
And it actually frames safety itself as a great engagement tool.
How so?
Because it's something everyone can usually agree on, right? Everyone wants a safer workplace. It's a common ground to start building engagement.
Okay, good point. Let's start with a really fundamental one, 5S. Sort, set an order, shine, standardize, sustain. Can you quickly walk us through how each helps safety?
Sure. So SORT is basically decluttering. Get rid of what you don't need straight away. Fewer trip hazards, less stuff to bump into.
Simple enough.
Set in order is organizing what's left. A place for everything. Clear paths, less wasted, potentially risky movement looking for things. Shine isn't just cleaning. It's like inspecting while you clean. You spot leaks, worn parts, potential problems much earlier.
Ah, okay. More proactive.
Exactly. Standardize is making routines to keep it sorted, ordered, and shining. It makes the improvements stick.
Right, building habits.
And sustain is the discipline to keep it all going. Audits, continuous improvement of the 5S itself. The insight here isn't just tidiness. It's the discipline and control it builds. Safety becomes a habit.
That makes total sense. I like the anecdote in the book where someone chose a job based purely on how clean and organized the place looked on the tour.
Yeah, it sends a powerful message about care and safety right from the start, doesn't it?
It really does. That disciplined approach is key. Okay, next up, visual factory. How does making things visual help safety?
Visual factory is all about making information obvious, like at a glance. Think color coding, shadow boards for tools, clearly marked aisles, performance boards everyone can see.
So better communication.
Better communication, more transparency, which supports engagement. People know what's going on.
And for safety specifically, the book contrasts the old safety first signs.
Which everyone ignores.
Yeah, with things like that cell safety calendar, where employees put up green stickers for incident-free days.
Exactly. That small act makes it active, not passive. People are participating in tracking safety. It builds shared responsibility, keeps safety top of mind daily. It's a small thing, but culturally significant.
Right. And it ties into shifting metrics too, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Moving beyond just counting injuries.
Yes. Moving from only looking at lagging indicators like injury stats to also tracking leading indicators. Things like how many safety suggestions got implemented or participation in safety walks. Things that show proactive effort.
That seems much more motivating, focusing on the positive actions.
Definitely. It gives you a pulse on the culture before things go wrong. Okay, what about training? How does lean influence safety training?
The book connects Kaizen events, those focused improvement bursts, with adult learning principles.
Yeah, it's a great fit. Adults like to be self-directed, use their experience, see the relevance, be practical.
And Kaizen events are exactly that. Hands-on, solving real problems right now.
Right, which the book contrasts with traditional classroom safety training, where you learn something, but then there's often a gap before you apply it, if ever.
So the learning sticks better with a hands-on Kaizen approach for safety improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Then there's Pokeyoke, mistake-proofing.
Yeah, Pokeyoke, a classic lean tool, usually for quality designing things so errors are impossible or immediately obvious.
But the book says it's tricky for safety.
A bit trickier, yeah. Mostly because of the human factor. People sometimes, unfortunately, find ways to bypass safety devices if they think it slows them down.
Like disabling a light curtain or propping a guard door open? Seen that happen.
Exactly. So Pokeyoke for safety isn't a magic bullet. It has to work with safety awareness and culture, not replace it.
So it's about designing safety into the process itself.
Yes. Like a machine needing two hands on buttons to operate. That's Pokeyoke. It prevents hands being in the wrong place. It designs the hazard out rather than just warning about it. That's the insight.
Got it. Okay, benchmarking is another tool mentioned. Learning from others.
Pretty straightforward, really. It's about systematically seeing what other successful companies are doing. The book cheekily says, shamelessly steal good ideas.
Oh, I like that. Industrial tourism with a target.
Exactly. Go look at other places, but with a specific goal. Find good safety practices you can adapt.
And it also mentions industry groups and networking.
Yeah, huge value there. Informal benchmarking, sharing problems, getting advice from peers facing the same challenges. It's like free consulting sometimes.
Very true. Okay, continuous flow and cycle time gains. How do they link to safety?
Well, the core idea of flow is connecting processes, reducing buffers, minimizing work in progress.
Right, less inventory sitting around.
And often that directly means less material handling, less lifting, carrying, moving stuff around, which means fewer chances for strains, sprains, dropped items, all that.
Ah, okay. The flow itself reduces handling risks. The book had those two case studies.
Yeah, the belt prep one with the new drill tool. Improve safety and cut cycle time.
And the shim replacement. Simple design change, big safety, and time savings.
Right. The insight is that efficiency and safety often go hand in hand. Making a job easier, more ergonomic, often makes it safer. And safer work often means less disruption, so it's more efficient. It's a virtuous cycle.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, standard work. Another lean fundamental.
Absolutely essential. Standard work means documenting the best, safest, most efficient way known right now to do a task.
It provides consistency.
Consistency, clear expectations, a baseline for quality, productivity, and critically, a baseline for improvement. You can't improve a process that isn't standardized.
And the safety link.
Well, OSHA rules and job safety analyses, JSAs, they are forms of standard work for safety. A JSA breaks down a job, identifies hazards, and defines the safe steps.
The book calls JSAs mini safety Kaizen events. I like that framing.
It is helpful. It treats them as active improvement efforts, not just paperwork. And remember that anecdote about workers not even knowing the production standard?
Yeah, and feeling unfulfilled because of it.
It highlights that basic need to know what's expected, including how to do the job safely. Clear standards are crucial.
Definitely. Okay, problem solving. Core to lean, core to safety. The book mentions the ask why five times method.
Classic root cause analysis tool. So simple, but so effective for digging past the surface symptoms of an incident or problem. Keep asking why until you get to the systemic root cause.
Not just stopping at the first obvious answer.
Exactly. And then there's PDCA Plan, Do, Check, Act, the continuous improvement cycle.
How does that apply to safety processes?
You use it to systematically improve safety, like the forklift incident example. Plan an intervention, maybe new training, traffic rules. Do it. Implement the plan. Check the results. Did incidents decrease? Act on what you learned. Adjust the plan, standardize it, or try something else. It makes improvement iterative and data-driven.
So it's about constantly refining your safety systems.
Constantly learning and adapting, yes, not just setting and forgetting.
Right. Metrics, then. We touched on this, but the book emphasizes going beyond just the OSHA logs.
Yeah. Those compliance metrics, the 300 log, 301 form, 300A summary, they're necessary legally, but they're lagging indicators. They tell you about past failures.
So the book pushes for more proactive metrics.
Exactly. Measuring things that predict safety performance, like safety observations completed, near misses reported and addressed, participation rates, things that show the health of the safety culture before an injury happens. Chapter 11 apparently goes deeper into this.
Okay, good to know. Lastly, in this section, teams.
Right. The book acknowledges the ups and downs of team-based initiatives and improvement movements.
They're not always the magic bullet people expect.
Sometimes not. The key point the book makes is that teamwork is a method for change, for engagement, not the end goal itself. And it needs real leadership support.
Ah, that anecdote about the COO.
Yeah. Moving down to the shipping department to personally lead the first high-performance team.
Wow. That sends a message.
A huge message. It shows that real change, whether it's lean or safety, needs senior leaders to be directly involved, visible, and committed, not just delegating it.
That's a powerful closing point for the basic tools.
Okay, so after covering those foundational tools, the book moves into some more advanced techniques.
It does, and it starts by talking about facilitated leadership.
What's that about?
It's a leadership style that's crucial for these advanced tools. It's less about directing and more about guiding, asking good questions, helping the team think, rather than just giving them the answers.
Okay, empowering the team. And the first advanced tool is A3 problem solving.
Right. The A3, it's named after the paper size, typically A3 paper. It's basically a structured way to manage a problem-solving project or initiative all on one page.
On one page. Sounds efficient.
It is, but it's also incredibly effective for developing people and engaging them deeply in solving problems. It forces clear thinking.
How does it work? What are the steps?
Typically, it follows about 6 steps.
Well,
1, clearly state the agreed-upon problem or the need. Really define it well.
Okay.
2, draw the current state. Okay. Visually map out how things work now, including the problems.
Got it. See the reality. 3, problem solving. This is where you dig deep. Use tools like the 5 whys to find the root causes.
Uh-huh.
4, define the future state. What should the process look like? What's the ideal or target condition?
The vision.
Exactly. 5, develop the implementation plan. How are we going to get from the current state to the future state? Who does what by when?
The action plan.
And finally, 6, audit. How will we check if the plan worked? What are the metrics? Compare the expected results to the actual results.
That sounds really comprehensive, yet contained on one page.
It is. And the book stresses the facilitator's role here, tying back to that facilitated leadership idea.
Right. Asking questions, not giving answers.
Precisely. The facilitator guides the team through the A3 thinking process, pushes them to dig deeper, challenges assumptions, but lets the team own the analysis and the solution.
So it really builds that ownership and accountability the book talks about.
Absolutely. When the team goes through that rigorous A3 process themselves, guided by a facilitator, they truly understand the problem, they develop the solution, and they are much more committed to making it work and sustaining it.
It sounds like a very powerful tool, especially for tackling maybe more complex safety issues.
It really can be. It provides that structure, that visual clarity, and that collaborative approach that drives real sustainable improvement developed by the people doing the work.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful, diving into lean safety like this.
Yeah.
It really makes it clear that bringing lean thinking and tools into safety isn't just an add-on. It's a powerful, holistic way to build a genuinely world-class safety culture.
Yeah, it really shifts the focus, doesn't it? It's so much more than just preventing accidents or meeting regs.
It's about empowering people, focusing relentlessly on improving the process and building that foundation of trust we kept coming back to.
Exactly. It lets organizations move way beyond just reacting to incidents. It fosters this proactive cycle of prevention and continuous improvement, which ultimately just makes the workplace safer and, frankly, better for everyone involved.
It really does make you reflect on your own situation. You know, listening to this, maybe consider, how could implementing even just one of these lean tools, maybe 5S or visual management, or starting a JSA program with that Kaizen mindset, how could that start to shift your own approach to safety?
Yeah, what's one small step you could take?
What small step could maybe kickstart a bigger shift in culture and ultimately lead to genuinely safer outcomes for your team?
That's definitely something to chew on.
It is. That's your food for thought as we wrap up today's deep dive. Thanks for exploring this with us.